Most people would say their most important relationship is with their spouse or children or perhaps a friend, and they'd be wrong. I am Rob West. Those relationships are important. We need them. But they don't carry eternal significance like your relationship with God. Today, I'll give some practical ways to strengthen that relationship. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So this is a program about money, and you may be wondering what money has to do with our relationship with God. That's a fair question, and the answer is a lot. And the Bible gives us three dots to make that connection. First, God created everything, and therefore He owns everything. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." Second, God gave us everything we possess. Deuteronomy 10:14 reads, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it." So God owns everything, but He's given us resources to use temporarily as His stewards. And last, God is not distant and detached. He wants a close relationship with you. James 4:8 tells us, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." We draw near to God by being obedient and following His law. With over 2,300 verses in Scripture about money and possessions, God has made His desire quite clear. He wants us to manage money according to His principles. Our friend Howard Dayton points out that wisely managing money and the other resources God blesses us with deepens our fellowship with Christ. Having a close relationship with Jesus is another way to describe what the Bible calls true riches. In Luke 16:11, Jesus indicates that God uses money as a test. He says, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches?" Jesus is saying that how you handle money affects your spiritual life. If you manage it well, according to biblical principles, you'll naturally grow closer to Him. If not, your fellowship with Him suffers. So biblical money management is a very practical way to improve your spiritual life. But sometimes things get in the way of that. There are two kinds of disobedience that keep us from handling money God's way and growing closer to Him. The first is passive. It's just laziness. Some people don't want to take the time to organize their finances, make a budget, and track their spending. Doing those things might only take a few hours a month. Still, it's just too much to bother with. Worse, that same person will spend more time than that watching TV every night. As a result, intimacy with God suffers. Now, if you don't have a spending plan, we urge you to download the FaithFi app. It has three options for setting up a budget quickly and easily, and then tracking your spending. You can get it at faithfi.com or wherever you get your apps. So that's the first form of disobedience, passive. Another person has a different obstacle to growing closer to God. It's an active or willful disobedience. For that person, money and possessions compete with Christ. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms how that will turn out. In Matthew 6:24, He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." You see, often that person thinks he can surrender every part of his life to Christ except money. He might be good at making money, paying bills on time, saving and investing, but he refuses to give Christ lordship over his finances. Maybe he stumbles over tithing or other giving to God's kingdom. He has the resources, but he just doesn't want to give. Again, his intimacy with Christ suffers. Finally, there's another person who's not following biblical financial principles but thinks her relationship with the Lord is just fine. To her, we might say, "What you don't know will hurt you. What are you missing out on?" You might think finances aren't interfering with your relationship with God, but how would you know? If any of these people sound like you, I suggest you commit your finances to the Lord in earnest prayer and then follow through managing your money and possessions His way. Again, you'll find what you need to get started by downloading the FaithFi app. It will not only help you set up your budget, the FaithFi app gives you access to the best Christian financial content out there to help you grow closer to God by following His principles. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Turn on any news program and watch it for an hour. Chances are you'll hear about wages at least once, pay rate, wages, dollars per hour. This is how we think about the world. How much is this hour worth to you? The Apostle Paul didn't live in a capitalistic society as we do, but he understood wages. The wages of sin is death. Death is the paycheck that sin earns us. We can go our whole lives working and working, but death will be the end result, not just physical, spiritual. Paul finished the sentence, though, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ worked on our behalf and earned salvation for us all." Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. And we mean that. Whatever you're thinking about financially, we'd love to tackle it with you. Our team is standing by. I'm ready. Let's take those calls. We've got some lines open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Virginia to begin today. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. I have a question on the mortgage. My husband passed in April, and his name and my name are on the mortgage. And I'm wondering if I and when I let them know that he has passed, am I going to have to refinance and start over, even though I'm the one paying the bills for the last 2.5 years?
Right. No, Barbara, the good news is you do not. You inherited your husband's half of the property with his passing. Federal law requires lenders to allow family members to assume a mortgage if they inherit a property. So you won't have to refinance, and you can continue just to pay on it until you've completely satisfied it.
Okay, so I don't even really need to let them know. It just lets things go like they are.
I would notify them, but it's not going to result in you having to refinance. They'll just make note of it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That takes a burden away.
You are welcome, Barbara. I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. What I'd love to do is send you a book. There's a great book called Wise Women Managing Money, and it was written by two ladies, Miriam Neff, who is a widow, and really has a ministry called Widow Connection to help widows specifically in this area of money management. And then her daughter, who's an attorney and a certified financial planner, Miriam Neff Hogan, they co-wrote it together. I think it will be an encouragement and a blessing to you as you transition into the role of managing your own finances solely. And can we send that to you as our gift?
That would be wonderful. I would be very appreciative.
Well, we'd be delighted to do it, Barbara. You stay on the line. Robert will pick up and get your information, and we'll get that in the mail to you. Again, it's called Wise Women Managing Money. If we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you. Let's head to Florida. Aura, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I had a question. This is on behalf of my dad, and he wanted to know, he's opening up a 401k plan.
Okay.
But they said that he has to pick a stock in order to open it. And so I wanted to know, would this be a good investment? And if so, what stock would you recommend?
Yeah. Well, we don't give stock recommendations, but generally, unless it's through something called a brokerage window, he wouldn't buy individual stocks inside the 401k. He would choose among the menu of investment options in the 401k, which would typically be mutual funds. And so those are investments, but instead of a single company ownership, you own a basket of stocks inside a mutual fund. Now, to get started, the easiest approach would be what's called either a life cycle or a target date fund. So essentially, the way the target date funds work is there's going to be several of them, and the name of the fund will have the year in it. And he wants to find the one closest to the year he expects to retire. So, you know, if he's 7 years out from retirement, he'd pick a 2030 target date fund. Well, the benefit of that is that fund invests in a way that's appropriate for your age and proximity to retirement. And as you get closer to retirement, it automatically gets more conservative because you want to focus on protecting what you have and having less volatility as you get closer and closer to retirement. You're always going to want some allocation to stocks, even in retirement. You just want that to a lesser degree. So that would be a great way to get started. And then if he wanted to go beyond that to get the help of an advisor, or perhaps the plan administrator could offer somebody that could help him select some other funds beyond just the target date fund. But the target date is a really simple way to get started. As to your question about whether or not I like the 401k, absolutely. This is a great way for him to start putting some money away for the long term, especially if there's matching. Be sure to take full advantage of any matching where, let's say, for every 1% of his paycheck that he puts in, they match it. Often they'll do that up to 3%. Some companies will do even more than that. That's free money. You don't want to miss that. But he can put in up to $22,500 this year in that 401k. If he's over age 50, he could put in up to $30,000. So you can put in quite a bit of money, and I think that target date fund will give him a really simple way to get going. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. It is very much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Aura. Tell him if he or you have any questions along the way. We'd love to help you navigate those. Don't hesitate to reach back out to us. God bless you, Aura. Thank you for your call today. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can give us a call. Let's head to Ohio. Andrea, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. My husband is 63. I'm 59. He is still contributing to his company's retirement plan. And I have actually two questions. The first is, should he continue contributing? We've had two significant losses in the past. One was 08, and I forget the other year. Or should we take that out and put it in something, one that's more stable, that will make us a little, that will make us a little more? And the second question is, we have an annuity that he's had for about 10 years. I know you're not a fan of annuities. We're wondering, it's a non-qualifying annuity, wondering if we should take that out and also put it into, you know, put it somewhere else.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, these are great questions. Thanks for that background. So you said he's still working. Any idea on how long he plans to continue working, just based on what you all know today?
He'd like to retire at 65.
Okay. And so that's just a couple of years away, right?
Right, right.
All right. And what do you all have in the way of investable assets earmarked for retirement, totally?
Totally about 400 to 500 thousand. It's
okay.
Probably more around 420.
Okay, great. And what have you done your budget just to say, okay, once he retires, here's how much it's going to cost us to maintain our lifestyle, and here's how much income we need, and where are you planning to pull that from? Would that be a combination of him taking Social Security plus drawing an income from the 420,000, or do you have other sources of income?
We're planning, hopefully, just to use our Social Security combined. It would be around $3,500 a month. We don't have any debt. We just built a home that we paid for, and we don't have any loans or anything. So
okay, yeah, that's great. So if you all can live within that, that just allows the 420 to continue to grow. You know, the key, I think, for your investments in retirement or when you're nearing retirement is you still want some allocation to stocks because you want a growth component. And I realize we have, the market is cyclical. So we're going to go through a period like we did in 08, and we're going to go through a period like we did, right before the pandemic and then after. And that's okay because the general trend is positive. It's the very best place to build wealth. You just would reduce your stock exposure. So at 65, you'd typically want about 45% in stocks, about 55% in fixed income. If you wanted to be more conservative, you might go 35% stocks, 65% fixed income. So as long as you've got your allocation right, because you need this money to last decades, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health beyond retirement, I'd still keep that stock allocation. Perhaps just get a little more conservative. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're surrounded by a culture where good is called evil and evil is called good. Churches have even started looking and sounding more like the world. So is there any clarity to be found in our world? And do we really know what it means to be called Christian these days? In his article in The Stand, Dr. Ray Rooney gives some background to those questions, then gives some much-needed clarity. If you're looking for help to become a more authentic Christian, you should read A Little Clarity for Christianity at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we recognize money issues, well, they're heart issues. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our heart follows our money. And ultimately, God is not interested in our money. In fact, it all belongs to Him anyway, the cattle on a thousand hills. It's not about us enriching God. It's about us handling our money, which has the ability to compete with God for lordship over our lives. And we want to handle it in such a way that demonstrates that God is our true treasure and not the things of this world. Well, that requires intentionality. It requires renewing our minds in Scripture because, well, the world will send us messages of materialism and greed that really are the opposite of what we would see in a biblical worldview. We want to help you cultivate that biblical worldview of money each day on this program. We've got, looks like maybe one line open, 800-525-7000. Just before the call, the break, we were talking to Andrea in Ohio. She was gracious enough to hold. Her husband, 63, a couple of years away from retirement. She's 59. They are debt-free, living modestly. They'll have about $3,500 a month in Social Security, which is more than enough to cover their bills. They've got about $420,000 in retirement assets, including an annuity and a company-sponsored retirement plan. And she was just wondering whether it's time to maybe get out of the market or how to approach the investments in this season of life. And Andrea, I was saying, you know, I think the key is to recognize, although we want to get more conservative, maybe at 65, having somewhere between 35 and 45% in stocks, the balance in fixed income type investments, bonds, which, by the way, have been out of favor as the Fed has been raising rates 11 times, they will come into favor and do quite well in the next several years. So that's a good thing. I think the key is that with a portfolio inside a retirement account like an IRA, it can be managed by an advisor. We can minimize risk. You can still have access to the principal if you need it. It can generate an income. Yes, there's risk at the end of the day, but, you know, you do have access to the money. And if you can live off of it, or even if you don't need it, you've got something then to pass on to an heir or to give away at death, as opposed to the annuity where it might just, you know, go away. So I think that's one of the benefits. Now, you do have to add that risk element, whereas with the annuity, you're transferring that to an insurance company in the form of a guarantee, and you give up, you know, access to the capital and perhaps the principal at death. I know you had a question about an annuity that's beyond the surrender period. So did you have any follow-up questions on that, just given what I've shared?
Do you think at this point with the annuity, it would be wise to take that out and maybe put it into one of these high yield savings accounts or some of it into one of those or a CD?
You certainly could put it in a CD. I mean, they're very attractive right now. They'll probably be less attractive a few years down the road as rates come down. I mean, you can get 5.5% guaranteed, which is phenomenal. That's not going to last forever. So although, yes, that would be a great temporary solution, I'd be more inclined for you to get, you know, into a position where, you know, you've got a longer term plan, whether that's another annuity because you just want the peace of mind of the guarantees or whether that's putting that under the oversight of an advisor. Now, you know, you still could say we're going to take a year's worth of expenses. You know, I'm just throwing that number out. You all would pick the number and put that in a high yield savings or a combination of high yield savings and CDs so that we know we've you know, got something liquid that's, you know, not at the risk of anything. And then maybe you take the balance and let an advisor manage it. But at the end of the day, if you all would feel more comfortable with another annuity, I could certainly get on board with that. Maybe a guaranteed annuity at, you know, 4 or 5% plus. I just like you all keeping access to the principal as long as somebody's giving oversight to it. Because I don't want you all to react emotionally, you know, a couple of years down the road, all of a sudden we hit a blip on the radar in the market and all of a sudden you're going to cash. I mean, whatever strategy we deploy, you all need to feel good about, and we want to stick with it because that's really where it pays off over the long haul. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. All right. If you need an advisor or two to interview to consider this alongside the folks you already have, you can head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA, and you could search for a certified Kingdom advisor or two there in Ohio to interview you. But it sounds like you all are making some great decisions, being very wise stewards of God's money. And I think the Lord will certainly honor your decisions along the way. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's talk to Juanita, and you can go right ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, I know I've heard you announce in the past on the program the website where you can go to get your free credit score.
Yes, ma'am.
The three scores, and you can get it free like once a year or something. I'm not sure how often you can do that, but I don't know. I was wondering if I could get the website to find that, to check credit scores.
Yes, very good. You are entitled to one free credit report from the three credit bureaus every 12 months through annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com would be the place to go. And, you know, they may have actually increased that. I know previously it was one a year. You may actually even be able to get more, but that's essentially the government's website where you can request those bureau reports, annualcreditreport.com. Now, if you're looking for your credit score and not the report with all the information, which, by the way, both are important. If one is more important, I think it's the actual report more so than the score, because credit reports do on occasion have inaccurate information. And so it's not a bad idea several times a year to review your report. And if there is something on there that's inaccurate, hasn't been updated, somebody compromised your identity and opened an account in your name, you would spot it there and you could dispute it. And by law, they'd have to either verify that it's true or delete it. In terms of the credit score itself, a place to go would be Credit Karma. Credit Karma. You could also go direct to the bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And if you have a credit card, many of them offer free credit scores as well. So you may want to check with them. Hope that helps you, Juanita. Thanks for your call today. God bless you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It looks like all the lines are full, so let's dive right back into the calls, get to as many as we can today to Michigan. Patricia, you're up next. How can I help?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sort of a follow-up question to one of your couple calls ago. You said that the woman could stay paying the mortgage once that her husband was deceased, and she could pay the mortgage. She wouldn't have to do anything. My husband and I are elderly. Our finances are all set, taken care of, but we want to leave our house to our nephew. Does he have to do something different?
No, a nephew can inherit a house and assume the remaining mortgage as well. You'd want to do this the way that it sounds like you have, allowing him to inherit it. You wouldn't want to add him to the deed before death, because then he wouldn't get the stepped up cost basis, which might result in a big capital gain bill if he were to sell the property. But if he inherits it through a will or a transfer on death deed or a trust, then he gets a stepped up basis, which means his new cost basis for the property to determine capital gains upon the sale becomes the value as of the date of death, as opposed to retaining your cost basis when you originally purchased it. But to your main question, yes, he would be able to assume that mortgage if he wanted to hang on to the property.
Now, you called it, you said something about death gain. What did you say?
Well, I'm saying to your question, he would be able to assume the mortgage. If he just wants to continue making payments, he can do that. What I was saying was, I want to make sure you don't put his name on the deed of the property before your death. I want him to inherit it through your will or some other means, because then he's going to get the stepped up cost basis, which just means that when he goes to sell it, the cost basis to determine capital gains, the purchase price, is going to be stepped up to the date of death, which is a good thing, because now there will be less profit when he sells it. As opposed to you adding him to the deed before death, he would retain your cost basis, which means when he sells it, they would look at your original purchase price to determine whether he has a gain or not.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that he doesn't need to contact the mortgage company, or we do?
I would let them know, if once you all pass away, I would have him let them know, but he absolutely can assume that remaining mortgage. Hope that helps you, Patricia.
Right.
Thanks for your call today. God bless you. Let's see, one line open, 800-525-7000 to Texas. Hi, Victoria. Go right ahead.
Thank you for your program. I really appreciate it. My question is that my husband and I are both 67 years old. We had, when we retired, about $300,000. We have more or less $30,000 on an IRA with E-Trade, and the rest, $270,000, my husband bought gold and silver with it. This was probably about 2 years ago, a little more. It has gold and silver have done nothing or very, very little.
Right.
Is it advisable to get rid of some of that gold or silver and even at a loss and move the money somewhere else? Or should we just sit on it and see what happens? And I'm confused, why is gold not doing as well in this economy as we thought it would?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts here. I mean, I can't give you a specific recommendation to buy or sell, but we can just talk generally about gold and silver and the appropriate allocation to gold and silver in a properly diversified retirement portfolio. You know, you obviously are way overweighted with $300,000 in investable assets, having $270,000 of that in gold and silver. That would be way beyond what I would recommend, you know, for a $300,000 portfolio. I probably would have this flipped. I would have $30,000 at the most in gold and silver, and the $270,000, I'd have that managed in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. With you all being 67 years old, you know, I'd probably have somewhere between 30% and 40% in stocks, and the rest in high quality corporate and government bonds, which will do very well in the coming years as rates fall. You know, gold and silver, yes, they're a store of value and a hedge against inflation, but there's also other factors there. So, for instance, one of the reasons that gold is not doing as well as you might have expected, although there is a lot of fear out there and inflation is high, you know, we still have a very strong U.S. dollar, and with the looming recession, you know, that's going to impact gold, you know, people's ability to buy it. So it doesn't always work exactly the way you think it would or should, you know, in times like these, which are very challenging. And if you just look historically, Victoria, at the performance of gold, it just doesn't do as well as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. There's more volatility and less overall return. And it doesn't provide any income, which is one of the big downsides. Whereas if you were to buy high quality dividend paying stocks or even bonds, you know, you have the ability to have the underlying asset appreciate like you do with the precious metal. But unlike the precious metal, stocks and bonds can generate an income at the same time, which increases the overall return. So, you know, I would just think about that fact as you evaluate your portfolio and the fact that you're very highly concentrated in gold and silver. Now, he may have a particular affinity to it. He may think that despite the, you know, the overall return and volatility historically, that, you know, we're going to get into really hard times and gold and silver are going to, you know, go through the roof. And that's ultimately a decision you all would have to make. But what I would say is, for me and for my money, I would have that flipped, no more than probably 30% in gold and silver and the rest in a stock and bond portfolio. The data will just say you're going to do better over time to protect what you've got in this season of life, to grow it so you can generate an income. Because, you know, on a $300,000 portfolio, you should be able to pull out $12,000 a year and maintain that balance over the long haul, not in any given month or quarter, but you should be able to pull out $1,000 a month and not see any reduction over time in that principal balance, which means you'd still have something to give away to ministry or charity or leave as an inheritance at your death. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I'm leaning towards, and my husband is reasonable and he'll understand, he's reasonable, period. But I'm leaning towards advising him that we move some of that silver and gold out of where it is, even if we have to take the hit of whatever loss it is. And then I want us to go to one of your advisors. I forget what you call them, but one of those advisors, and see if they can help us to invest it in more, like you said, a portfolio that will give us something as we get closer to our 70s and 80s. So we're both working right now on our own.
Okay.
But I don't see myself working for like 5 or 10 years. I don't.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I worked all my life.
Okay, very good. Well, I think that's good. I mean, obviously, you all need to sit down at the end of the day that God has entrusted these resources to you as a couple, and so you all need to make this decision as to what you feel most comfortable with and where your convictions lie. But I think what you just described sounds like a good plan, and you could even have the advisor manage it in not only stock and bond investments, but it could be aligned with your values through a faith-based investing strategy where the companies that are being selected are, you know, we're screening out companies that don't align with your values. We're screening in companies that are having a kingdom or a social impact toward human flourishing, even corporate engagement opportunities. I mean, there's some wonderful investment opportunities out there. So to find a certified kingdom advisor there in Texas, Victoria, just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA. I'd interview two or three before you make the final decision. God bless you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spiritual warfare is a reality that none of us are going to be able to escape. The scripture reveals that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We must be. But then the word of God says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So guess what that means? Our munition supply is not limited to this natural sphere. We're not merely just engaged, we are engaged to win. I like that.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Most people believe that everyone in heaven will share the same experience. But the fact is, the kind of heaven we experience in the next life is largely determined by how we live as a Christian in this life. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains what we should be doing right now to prepare for eternity in heaven. Join us this week for Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. KJ, coming your way in just a moment, but first to Alabama. Hi, Milton. Thanks for your patience. How can I help you? Hi, Milton. Go right ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this is a follow-up question from a conversation we have like a week ago.
Okay.
Concerning a borrowing for a home loan with a VA loan.
Okay, very good.
So you told me that it wasn't a good idea to put 20% because of my emergency fund being almost that amount. But
yeah,
the lender told me that if I put 10% down, I can reduce the VA fee and my monthly mortgage payments.
Okay.
So the VA fee can go down almost by half.
Yeah.
Instead of $5,000 to about $2,700.
Okay.
And the monthly fees can be reduced close to $200. So I was wondering if that is worth to move to put 10% down, which is almost $25,000.
Yeah, I would be comfortable with that. Would that leave you some money in your emergency fund?
Yes, about another 25 will be left on my emergency
fund. Okay, very good. Yeah, one of the benefits of that VA loan, Milton, is you don't have private mortgage insurance under 20%. So I'm comfortable with you just putting 10% down. But here's the thing. I would love for that mortgage payment on that mortgage, once you get it, to be no more than 25%, 30% at the most of your take-home pay. Do you think that would work?
Yeah, so far it is pretty close to that.
Okay, great. Yeah, then I think that's a good plan. I like that the fees are coming down. I like that saving you a little bit on the mortgage payment. You're not going to have the private mortgage insurance. You still got $25,000 in your emergency fund, and your principal interest, taxes, and insurance payment is right around that 25% mark. I'm on board with this plan, Milton, based on what I'm hearing.
Okay, sounds good, because I was just hesitating, because thinking that having $25,000 in my bank, I could have invested in something else and gained some interest on it, or have that cash available.
Sure. Yeah, no, I like this plan better. I think this is the right direction to go. Hey, thanks for being on the program, sir. God bless you. In just a moment, we'll head to Jerry Boyer. He joins us each Friday with his market commentary. But first, KJ in Arkansas. I know you've been waiting patiently. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask a question of just some advice. If I wanted to get involved with being a certified Kingdom Financial Advisor, like, what is some advice that you would give me? I have applied for, you know, different jobs like Edward Jones, Raymond James, and things like that. And
okay,
a couple of them I didn't get the job, whatever. But, you know, I'm not going to give up, because I feel like this is something the guy has placed in my heart. Yes. And it has been spoken to me that he wanted me to do some things with finances and to help his people. And it has been confirmed from two different people who operate in the prophetic that's actually accurate. They don't even know each other.
Well, KJ, I love that you want to serve God's people in this area of financial management. It's a huge need out there, and you absolutely could pursue the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. You are going to need, among other requirements, and there's a pretty high bar of requirements you'll need to meet to earn the CK, so it might take you some time, but one of those is an experience requirement of at least 10 years experience. So it might be that you have to go ahead and find that job, be praying, ask the Lord to show you exactly where he would lead you, whether it's, as you said, Edward Jones or Raymond James or any of the wonderful, you know, financial institutions out there. And it could be that you have to work a while before you'd be eligible to earn the CKA. But you can read all about it and learn more on the website, KingdomAdvisors.com, KingdomAdvisors.com. But listen, all the best to you. I think, you know, this is the area the Lord wants to use you. You can make a huge kingdom impact advising people around money from a biblical perspective, and KingdomAdvisors.com would be the place to go. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. We appreciate it. Hey, before we head back to the phones, it's Friday, which means our friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry is our resident economist here. He's the president of Boyer Research. And Jerry, great to have you. Obviously, a big week this week from the Fed and quite a bit of data, both corporate earnings and otherwise. So give us your read on all of it.
Yeah, well, the Fed made their move, surprising nobody. I mean, it was, you know, the 25 basis point increase in the interest rate. And remember, an increase in the interest rate, that's how they announce it, but it's basically selling bonds. They sell treasury bonds. That's how they execute that, because it's all kind of really mysterious. They set interest rates. Does that mean it's illegal to charge a different interest rate? Do they have like a little thermostat in their office? No, they're setting a target rate. So it is an instruction to their portfolio managers to either sell bonds or buy bonds, because selling or buying bonds changes the interest rate. You know, driving up the price of bonds down or up changes the interest rate. So basically all amounts to buy or sell. That's the only, you know, that's the only thing that's actually physically happening. And that's obviously computer screens. So this was, you know, we're going to sell a little more. And when they do that, they sell the bonds, then they destroy the money supply that's associated with them. You know, they sell them and they get money, and instead of putting it in the vault, they delete it. I mean, that's how central banks work. They have the power to create money or delete money. So it's a shrinking of the money supply. So why did they do that? Because they're worried about inflation. Since inflation has been dropping lately, still higher than we want, but it's been dropping lately, markets have concluded that the Fed's probably done. They're probably not doing any more hiking. There are some people who think, you know, maybe a 26% chance probability there'll be one more hike by the end of the year, but there's a 10% probability that actually will be a cut by the end of the year, and there's something like a 63% chance that they're going to stay pat. So markets have concluded, that's it, that was the last one. So that's kind of important news, but it's also not really news because pretty much everyone expected it. And the market doesn't move much when something happens that they already expected. Now, we've had a lot of earnings coming out, and earnings have generally been good. Also, we got the GDP numbers out for the second quarter. And again, no surprise, we didn't enter a recession in the second quarter. The number was positive. It was actually, you know, it was north of 2%. So below average, but not zero or not negative. So that's kind of what we found out this week. And that's why markets, they're up a little bit, but generally pretty flat. Because when you get to the end of a tightening cycle, there's all this uncertainty. Is this really the last one? We're not sure. We think so. So gold's up a little bit, but not much. The dollar's up, and usually gold and the dollar move in the opposite directions. So we're in this point where we think we know the Fed is done. We're not 100% sure. And if the Fed is not going to be making any more moves, then we're back to some fundamentals. We're back to actual earnings, you know, economic growth, the stuff right. that should have been driving the markets all along. When the Fed kind of goes neutral, which they haven't been for a long time, now we have to go back to paying attention to whether these companies, you know, actually make any money or not before we invest in them. So there's a little bit of a return to a normalcy here. The big question, of course, is having hiked interest rates so much, so quickly, that has pretty much always in the past led to a recession. So yeah. The question is, are we going to have a recession? I think we probably will. I think it will be a very shallow recession and very short. But I'm not sure of that. Markets have been a little more optimistic lately, so it's a really close call.
Yeah. What is your read just as you're seeing the corporate earnings roll in? I mean, I just saw in the headlines yesterday, Ford is raising their full year guidance after a solid earnings beat, and P&G's sales rose slightly. I mean, are companies in the aggregate holding up better than you expected?
Yeah, they are. They are holding up a little better than I expected. So, you know, that's an issue of. Part of it is inflation can create distortion effects when it comes to earnings. So if you bought something when it was cheaper, or you bought raw materials, well, sorry about that, bought raw materials when they were cheaper, and then you sell them after inflation, you yeah. get some kind of, and you get higher profit, but it's not necessarily a sign of a good economy. So I wouldn't overinterpret the fact that there are some entities, especially retailers, that to some degree benefit from inflation at some stage in the process because they have pricing power. And so they're doing better. I would just take a little bit. I would dial it back a little bit on not overinterpreting that as showing a strong economy.
Yeah, very good. Jerry, just quickly, we've got 60 seconds left. What have you been learning lately in the corporate engagement space? I know you've been engaging with state treasurers and still participating in lots of meetings. Anything jump to the surface there?
Well, we had hearings recently from Congress, and the pressure is really on the big asset managers like BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and the pressure is really on the proxy services. And yesterday, the big kind of left of center group, As You Sow, did their annual report. And they weren't happy because it really wasn't a very good year for them, especially on their pro-abortion push. And I hope they learn their lesson. But it's a little triumph, not a huge one. Fight's not over. But all the abortion resolutions lost this year, and there were a lot of them. So wow. there's good stuff going on.
Very good. Well, Jerry, thanks for that update. Always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Bless.
All right. That was Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research, our resident economist. He joins us each Friday. Betty in Oregon, I don't have time for your question, but I see it here on my screen. What's the name of the title to transfer to children upon death for your home? It's called a TOD deed, transfer on death, or it's also known as a beneficiary deed. A TOD deed or a beneficiary deed is what allows a property owner to transfer ownership of their real property to one or more designated beneficiaries upon their death, and it is available in Oregon. So you just need to talk to an estate planning attorney or a real estate attorney to help you put that in place and then file it in your county. Hope that helps you. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Grateful for my team today. On behalf of Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.